April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer with you for the next couple hours. Elliot actually driving all the way back from a bachelor party to be here today.
I'd never miss the show when I came.
2.5 hours, though.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. And James, let me say this. You very rarely make mistakes, but I think you made one.
Oh, already? Yeah. Wow.
Today is not Go Birds Radio.
You're right.
Today is Go Sixers Radio.
It has to be.
It has to be. Look, we love talking Eagles. Obviously, call in, but like, we're talking Sixers today.
Yeah, we are here to talk Eagles. If you have any Eagles call, any Eagles topic you want to talk, and we will get into some Eagles stuff as well, but it seems silly to come on to WIP the day after Game 6, the day before Game 7, and not talk about the Sixers as well. So we're going to start there, and again, any Eagles call you want, please, 215-592-9494. We're happy to talk Eagles, and we'll get into some more Eagles stuff, but look, I still can't believe they won that game
last
night. Unbelievable. They came out and looked horrendous to start. We're texting each other, we're like, well, this isn't great, this doesn't feel awesome.
Well, as you mentioned, so I'm on a joint like bachelor bachelorette type party. It's a bunch of people out there, so you know, shout out to the clients for their pending nuptials. Shout out to my fiance Kristen for allowing me to come back and do this show, right? Very
big
kind
time.
Of her
big
big time queen move. But so yeah, so we're watching, I'm watching the game with people, and going into it, I think coming off of game five, you were obviously not feeling confident.
It was hard to feel confident.
Yeah, that was one of the all-time crushing losses.
Especially coming off four. I mean, you got the first team in 25 years to lose an 18 and a 26-point lead in back-to-back games in the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
It's hard to have faith in a team like that after that.
And then for the game to start off the way it did, I mean, I think we were both on the same page where you'll know in the first few minutes if this team came to play.
Yep.
And it was very clear early on that Joel, Ben, and Toby did not come to play.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate doing the look at, you know, try to read in their head and see if they're nervous or not. It was apparent watching them play. I thought the Sixers' three biggest players were rattled to start that game, right? Joel came out bad, just bad. I mean, very rarely in this season has Joel, like, not shown up. He didn't show up last night.
Agreed.
Still finished with 22 points, I think. But he did not show up last night. Ben gets the early.
Yeah, his first free throws were in the second half for Joel.
Unbelievable,
And I know the calls were bad and stuff, but Joel, when he's not getting to the line, you know he's not.
And when he's not hitting his mid-range, like, you could just see his touch wasn't there last night. And he just looked rattled, I thought, by the moment. Ben came out, obviously gets the early foul calls, and I know we'll talk a lot about Ben today. I'm sure that
really, you think so?
The people, we're going to be on the same page about Ben, I think. But look, Tyrese Maxey saved the season last night, flat out. If Tyrese Maxey doesn't play the game he did, our show today is talking about the end of the Sixers season and what a disappointment it was. Tyrese Maxey, to me, last night showed why I think he's already the Sixers' second best player. And I know you disagree because your team, Seth Curry,
Seth
who's also
Curry!
Been amazing. But for Tyrese Maxey to do what he did last night, I think sometimes with young players, you can just tell early on if they have it. Like, are they ready for this moment? Tyrese Maxey was the only player on the court last night besides Seth, but like the only super important player, I guess I'll say, because Seth is a role player at the end of the day. Tyrese Maxey showed why he should be starting next year and why he has a very high ceiling, why he's special. Like, Joel, Ben, and Toby looked nervous at that game. When Tyrese Maxey came in, it was so refreshing to see a guard attack the basket where you didn't have to emotionally guilt him in it. Guilt him into doing it for multiple games. Like, he had the ball. I mean, saying he reminds me of Iverson is strong, clearly, but just the way he was fearless in attacking the basket was just so refreshing to see, and it gave him the spark they needed. If he doesn't come in and do that, again, they do not win that game. Joel, Ben, and Toby let the team down. Tyrese Maxey did not, and that's what you want out of first-round picks. That's what you want out of guys that are supposed to be special. He looked special last night.
Yeah, look, and I think Toby, look, those were some massive free throws hit at the end of the game.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially after not having any free throw attempts the whole game, to come in and hit those four was huge, and I thought Toby was fine. But, yeah, look, Tyrese Maxey's a rookie. He's a rookie.
Didn't look like it, though.
And he looked way less scared than the five-year vet, max player, multiple all-star guy.
Or let's be real. Or Joel. Again, Ben deserves more criticism. But if Joel is going to be a top five player, top three guy, he came up small last night.
Yeah,
just
in an elimination game. But yeah, the Maxey, it's unbelievable, honestly, for a rookie to have that kind of those stones in that moment, to want the ball, to want the shot, to want to get fouled, to want to go to the line. Like, yeah, I mean, you're right. Tyrese Maxey saved the season last night.
And last night, too. There's been so much debate about Ben for really years, but especially over these last few days. You know, why is Doc treat him the way he does? Is he that good? Is he not? All that stuff. We saw last night what Doc really thinks of Ben. And I know the foul trouble played a role, but the fact that late in that game, season on the line, Tyrese Maxey was playing point guard, and Ben was essentially being treated like a role player, like a defensive
specialist.
He's getting
subbed in and out.
Yeah, subbed in and out. Yeah. All he was doing, I mean, they eventually took the ball out of his hands flat out, but he's walking up the court and just handing it to Seth Curry and then going and standing in the dunker spot and doing nothing. Tyrese Maxey, to me, and this is an underrated thing with point guards, especially with Ben, I don't think we talk about enough. His skill set is just not good as a point guard, but you could see last night how much it helped to have someone at playing point guard that was confident. That was like, okay, guys, like take a deep breath. I got it. I have the ball, and I'm going to help this team. Ben just very rarely does that. And last night, it was just such a stark difference where you saw – Doc said, okay, my job might be on the line. I want the ball in Tyrese Maxey's hand. I don't want it in Ben Simmons.
Yeah, well, he had a floor general feel to him. He wasn't that. Like, the thing that makes a Chris Paul so special, or those type of guys, is that they have, like, a supernatural feel of who needs the ball, who needs to be involved, who's feeling it tonight, who's not, setting people up in the right positions. And that's the way they look at the game of basketball. The way they play the game of basketball is as a analytical thing where they are looking at all things at all time and getting everyone involved. And that's the job. That's the role. That is not Ben Simmons. Like, for all his good qualities that he does have, like, it is not being a floor general. It's not being a point guard. It is not... Again, a perfect example in the 0-for-12 game, the loss in Atlanta, the Joel in the 0-for-12 in the second half. Like, that's a game where your point guard needs to say, all right, Joel doesn't have it tonight. I need to pick him up. Toby needs to pick him up. We need to get everyone else involved in and pick Joel up tonight. And that's just the kind of thing that Ben doesn't have in him.
Well, what's interesting about Ben is, and it's been really clear the last two games especially, is the only skill set he really has as a point guard is he does have good court vision.
Yeah,
like, he does.
He's a good passer.
He's a very good passer. There might not be many players in the league, honestly, that see the court better than Ben does. But what he can't, his deficiencies hurt them so much. And it was on display last night. And then, you know, we obviously haven't been on since game five, or you were, but we haven't been on together. Mm-hmm. But game five, it just showed. And the free throws to me, 4 of 14, yes, that is terrible, but I can't fault him as much there because I do believe he practices. I do believe he tries. He's trying his best to make them. He's not making them. But I thought the 2 for 4 was so much worse. And then last night, again, 2 for 6. Think about that. The number one overall pick, your point guard, your max level guy, the all-star player, has taken 10 total shots in the last two games that you had to win.
The two biggest games of the season.
Yeah, two biggest games of the season. Yeah. Flat out. There'll be bigger ones, hopefully, and I do think they win game 7, and you know, then those games will be bigger. But the two biggest games right now, Ben has been a complete no-show. It was what all season you worried about has
completely
come to fruition.
Yeah, the Achilles heel that everyone said, oh, this is going to be the team's Achilles heel, is looking like the team's Achilles heel.
Right.
And look, I am less confident than you in game 7. You know,
interesting.
If I had to bet my house on it, I would still bet on the Sixers to win the game. but I don't feel confident about it at all. Like, I don't know how you could after what we've seen them do. Certainly the last game at home, losing by 26 at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you could possibly look at these guys and say, all right, they're going to show up. I know they will. You know who I know is going to show up for Game 7? Trae Young. That dude's going to show up for Game 7. We need guys to show up too, or else Trae Young's going to beat us in Game 7.
And it'll be interesting to see how they handle Maxey, right? Like, I don't think they'll start him. That would be pretty aggressive. I mean, I guess you could start him over Cork, but that's weird with Ben on the floor. So who knows how they'll handle that. But
Ben, just go stand in the corner again.
Right. But what you mentioned, I think, is interesting, and this is where we differ a little bit. So when they lost Game 5, as anybody that watched that game, and look, I grew up, the Sixers were my favorite team. Like, I grew up loving basketball. Allen Iverson is my
favorite athlete of all time.
Like, bar none. There's no one even comparable in my eyes. So, you know, I grew up loving the basketball and the Sixers and all that. And when they lost, though, I wasn't as panicky as other people. And I think my season covering the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl is why. Because when I was around that team, the Eagles, the 2017 Eagles, day to day, I remember, I think it was week 7 or 8, they went to Dallas, they beat the Cowboys, they obliterated them.
It was like 37-9 or whatever,
In that game, I remember thinking, all right, this team's special. Like, they're not perfect, and obviously Carson got hurt, which Nick played well, but when Carson got hurt, you're like, this is a major problem. But when we think macro about that team, they were like, they were special, they won an amazing Super Bowl, they dominated all year, which is true. But what you also have to remember is, against Atlanta, they almost lost that game. Against Minnesota, the Vikings went right down the field, went up 7-0, and I remember being...
And got the ball back, Patrick Robinson,
I remember being at the link that day, and the feeling was, uh-oh, we're, like, in real trouble. Like, the Eagles are, like, this is... Look, the Falcons, who they were, they barely won that game, didn't look impressive doing it. You fall behind to a team in Minnesota that everybody agreed was really good.
And was coming off the Minneapolis Miracle.
Right.
Like that, you know, wow, the team of destiny, that whole thing they had going for them too.
So, but the Eagles, after that like scary moment, they rolled. They smoked Minnesota. They went on, they won the Super Bowl, obviously. And Patrick Robinson kind of triggered it. Who knows? Maybe Tyrese Maxey is the Patrick Robinson to this team.
Ooh.
But when I think about this Sixers team all year, despite their obvious flaws, I am not a Ben Simmons like defender, right? I think he's a major flaw. We'll have an offseason discussion about trading him. I think it's pretty clear what you have to do. But I've always felt this Sixers team was special. And I think last night showed that they are. Like, that was an impressive win from the fact that your main guys didn't have it, you needed it, and you found a way to win it. And as painful as that loss in Game 5 was, it was not an elimination loss. It was just a loss. And it was a bad moment in what I think is a postseason that is going to continue.
Yeah, and look, what I will say is if they come out tomorrow night and do win Game 7, as bad as those two collapses were, as historically bad as those collapses were and as bad as they felt in the moment, that would be a real gut check two wins. Like, that would be like, that would show me something about this group of guys, that they went into Atlanta, didn't have it, found a way to win that game, and then came home for Game 7 and won it. Like, that will give me more confidence. I'm just nervous about this Game 7 tomorrow night down at the Wells Fargo Center.
And I can understand it. But I think that when you look at the series, they've dominated so much of it.
They've given games away more than Atlanta.
I mean, last night was super close, clearly. I mean, the Sixers fell behind. They come back. And, again, I can't believe they won that game. With
me
the
either.
Way Joel, Toby, and Ben played, it's a miracle. So I think it shows there's a difference between beating a team in a game and knocking them out. And I don't know if the Hawks have it in them to knock the Sixers out.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on the Sixers after last night heading into Game 7? Are you confident that they'll handle business? And then moving forward, too, and we'll get more into that because, you know, look, the Nets-Bucks Game 7's tonight. Neither of those teams feels unbeatable.
Agreed.
You know, certainly with the injuries and all that. And then, of course, the Western Conference. I think Phoenix is the best team left, personally.
Yep.
I know you agree. But they're still not an unbeatable team, so it is... It is a really unique year in the NBA. In our lifetime, you could argue this is the most wide open it's ever been at this moment. Like, we always know who's going to win the title. Every year, before the season starts, you know who's going to win the title usually. Like, right now at this time, you always at least have a really good idea it's going to be that team or maybe one of those two teams. Like, any of these teams left could win the title. It's crazy.
What's interesting with the Sixers is I think when the Eagles were making that run in 2017 – obviously, we all thought they had a chance to win it, but it felt like the beginning of something. Like, had they not won it, I think that the next year you would have still been like, okay, Carson's coming back. And honestly, this is what people thought, even though they did win it.
Yeah.
Like, Carson's coming back. They have a really good core. Like, the window is very wide open.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
In my opinion, this is the last run the Sixers have with this core.
With Ben is the idea?
Yeah, essentially Ben. Yeah, yeah. Is basically what you mean, right? Because you're not trading Joel.
Yep. I think Toby is
an interesting discussion to have
about going anywhere with that contract, you
right?
To get value for him.
If they lose, it will be because of Ben. It's clear already. Like, they should have already lost because of Ben. Ben should have already cost them this series.
Or to flip it around, they should have won this series in five games if it weren't for Ben Simmons.
Exactly. You know? So if they lose this, I think they definitely trade Ben, and that's a pretty major overhaul. I know Joel's the center.
No, that's a massive, no question. 215-592-9494. So where do you stand? Of course, if you do want to talk Eagles, if you have an Eagles question, Eagles call, we are happy to take that as well. It is Go Birds Radio just today. Go Sixers, right?
Yeah, always. I mean, look, we're still on WIP.
Yeah, exactly. 215-592-9494. Let's start out where we do every single Saturday at this time in Abington with our buddy Tom. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. James, happy Father's Day, brother.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you. I really appreciate that. It is, it's still weird to be a father, but it's awesome.
Elliot, you got to get to work, my man.
I know.
It's true.
Well, you're also making me look bad because I did not say Happy Father's Day to James. So well done by you.
Technically not Father's Day.
I mean, it's
tomorrow.
That's not out of the ordinary, me making you look bad, right?
Yeah. Well, non-football related, yes. Good to talk to you.
I love you.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Hey, good to talk to you, too. Go Sixers. I love it. Okay. At the end, I got a bet proposal for you, ESP.
Oh, I'm in. I can tell you right now I'm in, but I'm excited.
I think you'll like it. But okay. So yesterday, real quick, I got to clear something up. On Marks and Reese, a Tom from Abington called in, and I just want to clear up that was not me because my phone lit up after it, and this dude was an enabler, which I am absolutely not.
Oh, no.
I don't think there's many of them out there anymore.
Making the Tom from Abington name look bad. Not cool.
I just wanted to clear
that
up.
You did enough of that yourself with Carson over the last year. The last thing you can do is ride the bench.
Wow. All right, we'll save that for another day, Elliot. All right, so I'm going to make a statement here, and I know it's ridiculous on the surface, but I'm going to make it anyway. If the 76ers win a chip this year, I still want Ben out of here.
Wow. Yeah. We were talking about this before the show, and I agree with you. Now, if they win the title, like, how we'll feel then will be different.
And
because Ben would have had to play better and all those things.
Ben probably looked a lot better than he – like, well, the way he's playing now, I find it hard to believe they're going to win a title with a guy like that.
The thing is, like, Ben has been the same player every year of his career.
He's the most frustrating athlete to watch in history.
In our lifetimes of Philadelphia, I've talked about this a lot lately because I've tried to come up with comps. I've tried to come up with, like, parallels.
Mm.
And there aren't any. Mm. He is the most unique – athlete we have had in this city because of this one freaking thing that completely limits his potential, and the potential is so high, like we've never seen anyone like
this. And the stars seem to be aligning, with what's going on with the other squads. But yesterday, you remember, James, I said, I was asking Joe and John, like, what they thought of starting Maxey and subbing in Simmons, just making the subs a little quicker. I understand that Glenn didn't start Maxey last night, but didn't we get a little taste of that or what that would look like?
Yeah. Look, it's kind of like when we talk about the Eagles' defensive ends, right? Like, there's certain players that start, but what really matters is who's out there when it flat out matters. Like, Chris Long wasn't a starter, but
if
he was out there when it mattered.
Yeah,
that's
a great point.
And I think you saw last night that even though Ben's the starter, Doc does not feel he is one of the best players on the team in crunch time.
Well, he's having to learn that pretty quickly because he did it 180 there from his Zooms just 2 weeks ago.
I'd be interested. I think that there's a better chance that all year Doc knew the truth, was handling the press conferences to try to kind of stroke Ben's ego. But if you look, like, very quickly when they've had to take Ben out, he's done it. Like, they have not lost a game yet. Well, I should take that back. They have lost because of Ben. But Doc, I think, has been pretty quick to pull Ben in certain instances where it's been obvious he has to.
Now, Ellie, I do not agree with the whole 2017 Eagles comp you put out there on Twitter.
Okay.
I mean, the Eagles absolutely crushed everybody, even the good teams.
But not in the playoffs.
Better.
I mean, in Atlanta.
But you said in the regular season, that's when, like, you were comping the regular.
I mean, the Sixers.
Yeah, they kind of struggled against the better teams.
Well, I mean, who'd the Eagles beat that year that was super good in the regular season? They lost to the Rams.
I know.
Sorry, they did beat the Rams.
Schedule.
Yeah, so I think my comparison and more was the Eagles that year knew how to win.
Yeah.
Well, they knew how to win. I think the Sixers are showing, during the regular season. Like, there were stretches where Joel was out. Obviously, Ben struggled at times. Like, they found different ways to piece together to get the one seed. And I think that, to me, is the parallel.
And you and everybody keeps saying, you know, one of the accolades you give to Ben is his facilitating and his passing. And you, Elliot, just made the comment that there's not many guys in the league that make a better pass than him.
No.
But just look across on the other team right now. Trae Young is a way better passer than Ben.
Well, Trae Young's just a way better player.
Yeah, he's way better.
Yeah.
He's just way better.
All around.
He's a better passer because he can create passes for himself because he gets guys open because guys follow him when he drives and he can kick out and all that stuff.
So my playoff prediction, I was talking to Jan Jansen, and I had the Sixers losing to the Bucks in the conference finals.
It's looking possible.
I still think it's going to happen, because I even told him, I said, I expect a net or two to go down and the Bucks to win that series. And lo and behold, here we are.
Possible. So, all right, what's your bet, Tom?
Okay, so, Elliot, James knows I have a current bet with the hammer, and that is that Carson Wentz, I believe, will be the starter of the Colts in 2022. He believes he won't. So in that vein, I would like to lay on the line a steak dinner with you.
All right.
And I say, because you're such a supporter and believer in the guy, I say Jalen Hurts will not be the starting quarterback of the 2022 Birds.
Mm. Ooh. Okay. I will take that bet.
All right.
I believe in Jalen enough that the week one 2022, I think he's the starting quarterback.
Boom. James, witness?
Witness.
All right. You fellas keep talking, I'm going to keep listening.
My man.
Pleasure. I like that. Little Justin
little
in Tennessee.
Little ode to Justin from Tennessee there.
Yeah. All right. The bet is on.
I will say I'm not a huge steak guy.
That's
but
right.
We will go and get a good dinner.
I'm a steak guy. You can buy me.
I think it's maybe the most overrated food.
You both get me a steak, and I feel like it's a good one for me. By the way, Tom, wishing happy Father's Day. Remiss, I should have mentioned at the top of the show, I meant to happy Juneteenth to everyone out there. The emancipation of slaves in America, obviously a really important day to remember and to teach about, and becoming a federal holiday, and hopefully steps towards more people knowing about Juneteenth and celebrating Juneteenth and all that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Go Sixers Radio, and obviously we will take Eagles calls as well. Get in now. 215-592-9494. We will run calls when we get back. It's Elliot, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio. And again, let me remind you that no one does live in-game play-by-play betting better than the Parx Sportsbook app. It's our sportsbook app of choice. Golf's in full swing. Baseball's in full swing. Obviously, a lot of pro hoops action. Sign up now, and you can bet live on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and so much more. They have an incredible offer to get you in on the action. As a new customer, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $500. $500. The Parx Sportsbook app is the only sportsbook app based right here in the Delaware Valley. They have it all. Live in-game betting, parlays, props, teasers, and so much more. The live in-game betting is a wild ride. It is a blast. You can bet on individual player performances and pro hoops, hockey, baseball, things like points, rebounds, goals, and strikeouts. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app gives you the home field advantage. And Elliot and I have been having a blast betting these pro hoops. Action, obviously, tomorrow, Philadelphia, a big home favorite in this one. So if you like Philly, get it in now as the line just keeps going up and up and up. And there are a lot of fun player props in those games as well. And, of course, tonight, Game 7, Brooklyn-Milwaukee. It's another fun one to bet on. You can bet on all of these with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Again, here's the deal. New customers only. Sign up now. You get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app. Or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS. And again, that's parxcasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parx Casino Sportsbook. Go Sixers.
Go Sixers Radio
today.
Nice ring to it.
I like it, you know?
Are we the new only Sixers podcast
out
there?
Sure, I think so.
Yeah, I think so,
I don't know
too.
Of any others out there.
Me either. Not off the top of my head.
No,
you know, no rights to, yeah, no rights
to Ricky
Sanchez.
No connection to this station or anything, no. 215-592-9494. Where do you stand on the Sixers heading in to Game 7? Are you confident they're going to handle business and their title chances? Because we talked about it last segment, but, like, things have opened up this year. There is a open year, and as bad as they were in those two games, they won in Atlanta. They're a favorite at home in Game 7, and they could beat any team left. It's the Ben Simmons thing just makes it so hard to believe.
I'm so torn because one part of me does see the obvious flaw, which is Ben Simmons is not good enough. He's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side, you know, until they're eliminated, I can't get rid of the feeling I had, which is they are a special team. They've seemed special all year to me. And maybe it was because the regular season in the NBA isn't what it used to be. And I've always thought Ben was a detriment. So this isn't me changing my opinion on Ben. Even with the Ben problem, they've always found a way to win because Joel's been that good. So I'm torn. I definitely think they win game seven. I feel pretty confident about that. But when I look ahead to the Nets or the Bucks, I can't count them out. Even though logically I say, well, Ben's playing really bad. Joel seems like maybe the injury's catching up to him. You know, I think Tyrese Maxey's awesome, but is Tyrese Maxey going to
go head to head with Kevin Durant?
Yeah, that's
I don't
a
know.
Tough spot. But I can't count him out either, just because I've seen them all year figure out a way to win and not get eliminated. So until they do, I can't scratch the feeling that maybe they'll be able to keep it going.
215-592-9494. And of course, if you want to chime in on the Eagles, we're happy to take any Eagles calls. Let's go to Vancouver and talk to our buddy Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hello, fellas. It's actually Tom from Abington.
You snuck
I've
in.
Reconsidered.
Yeah, this is the new Tom from Abington. Yes.
That's right. The Eagles did not crush everybody in 2017. They won some close games.
Yes,
they're a little
very
bit lucky
so.
With. That's right.
Yeah.
So, getting back to the Sixers, the two reasons they won, you guys have mentioned a couple of them, mm-hmm. which were the Maxey and Curry. The other one is, and by the way, with Curry, I'm wondering how much his brother might have helped him in calls, giving him some advice, giving him some
maybe.
Encouragement.
I mean, he's looked more like his brother this series than he ever has
he's
before.
He's been unbelievable.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's been incredible. So the other thing is the defense has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fourth, on this last game, compared to the others, they didn't
totally.
Collapse. They were able to keep them down to 100, below 100 points. So that was awesome. So just that Ben comment, I just can't handle this guy. It's been so obvious to me because I've been a little more, not being in Philadelphia, I've been a little bit more separated from it and been able to look at it a little bit more objectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw the Raptors run that they had and how amazing Kawhi was and what a great leader he was.
Yeah.
I don't see that leadership from either Embiid or Simmons. I never expect to see it from Simmons. And he's been flawed from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I just don't get that guy. So sick of him, so sick of him being around, and I just would like him to please just go away. It's just, it ruins watching the games, and if they're going to have any chance this year, I think the Doc has to be willing to bench him like he's done.
Yeah, and look, I think he will be gone this offseason, almost no matter what happens, so I think you're probably going to get your wish. But the thing with Ben, it's interesting because he catches so much more heat than Tobias Harris does. And I think that's because deep down, all of us really think Ben has it in him to be better. Whereas Toby kind of just is who he is at this point. He's a probably overpaid player that gives you 20 points a game, but you know what it is with him. But to your point about it being frustrating with Ben is because you look at him and you say, this guy could be the best player in the league if he was able to score. Like, he has the physical tools to do it. Now, I don't know about if he has the personality, but yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. Joel also, though, to your point, I mean, Joel did come up small last night.
Yeah.
And like, he's the best player, so he's supposed to not come small.
He was great in the first three quarters of game five, and then he was not great in the fourth quarter of game five when they collapsed.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you can definitely – Embiid needs to be more consistent. And, look, I get it. I don't blame Embiid. It sucks. I mean, how angry do you think he is with his teammates in a game like game five, you know, with a guy like Ben Simmons? But, if they're going to win the title, Embiid has to be more consistent.
Yep.
So I've got one little Embiid leadership comment to make. Then I've got a suggestion for James, and then I'll let you guys go.
All right.
Because, well, I'll hold off my Eagle stuff for next week.
Sure.
The Ben with Embiid in terms of leadership, I don't get the same feel that I get with a great player like Kawhi when he's on the floor. His skills are there, and he's doing the right moves and all the rest of it. But I don't feel, maybe I'm wrong with this, but I don't feel the gravitas that I get with the leadership of someone like Kawhi Leonard.
Well, I think Kawhi's also won a title, multiple titles, been the best player on a title team. Like, some of that comes from it too. And we talked about this a bit before, but it's also harder in today's NBA for a center to be your top offensive option. Like, it is, you need someone who can break people down on the outside, and it's harder to lead from that spot when you're not bringing the ball up, when you have the ball in your hands, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little tougher.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that, just real quick too, I mean, you do see him kind of lose it every once in a while, right? Like, after a call, if he doesn't get it or something like that. So that's not super reassuring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Okay, last thing before I go, James, I have, and based on what you guys were saying earlier, I have a potential contest that you might want to run with your show during the week.
Ooh,
and that is, yeah. So it, because Ben is personally, I find him to be the most flawed star athlete I've ever seen in any sport ever.
Mm-hmm.
And for his level of the level of accolade and the level pay he's getting. So what about having a collar contest around that? Who is the most flawed star athlete, like superstar athlete, that you've ever seen in any sport?
It's a fun one, Tom. So generally we try and great call, we try and go with the non-sportsy type of side topics.
It's an interesting question, though. Ben's the answer.
Ben's the answer. In terms of like a quote-unquote star, and obviously I think a lot of people are watching this playoffs and saying he's not a star, he's a role player, but he's been a multiple-time All-Star, he's a max player, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, it's a fascinating question. I think he's probably the most flawed, accomplished that I can think of, for sure. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Wisconsin and talk to Trey. Yo, Trey.
Yo, holy crap, guys. It's been a little bit.
How you been, buddy?
Good to hear from you.
I've been good. I just deep cleaned the apartment. You know that feeling when you deep clean your place and then you sit down and you're like, yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
It's a phenomenal feeling, really quick. I'm also a big fan of deep cleaning before I go away so that you come back.
Oh, that's
a
good one,
house.
Too. I like that. Yes. That's
so
good.
Yes. last night, I didn't watch much of the game because every game I've watched, we lose. So, I'm kind of in my head about it. But I did watch.
Well, thank you for taking one for the team.
I couldn't stop myself, so I watched the end of the game, and it's like you kind of hit the nail on the head, Elliot. Ben Simmons, it's almost as if Doc told them in the huddle, like, hey, like, only give this guy the ball if it's automatic points. You know what I mean? Like, it's scary, dude. It's scary watching this guy. There's this look on it. Have you ever looked at his face?
Yeah, he looks terrified.
There's this look of apathy, right?
I even think it's fear.
Well,
honestly.
So he's always kind of like that. I will say, like he will yell after dunks and stuff, but like he's kind of always been a little more
reserved,
not showing his emotion. But look, you're right though. But it was also like, you know, I'm down to talk Ben, obviously, but Joel and Tobias also looked scared to start that game. Like they just looked as equally shook, in my opinion, as Ben did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But at the end, you're right. Ben was checked out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tyrese absolutely saved us there. Real quick, before I get out of here, I wanted to bring up some football quick.
Sure. Right.
What did you guys think of the Madden cover? It's kind of weird. They kind of rehash what they've already done with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. And I kind of dig it. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say Derrick Henry totally got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Watt, that would have been a great cover too. I don't know. I mean, I really think they kind of whiffed on this one, and I really think that would have been a cool cover.
Trey, great question. This is Elliot's Wheelhouse. Thanks for the call. Call again.
I got a strong take on this.
Yeah, I figured you might.
So for those that don't know.
For those who don't know, I have no strong takes on this. Like literally could not care less, but go ahead.
So it's Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes on it together.
Sure.
That's the cover.
Fine. Seems good.
All right, Patrick Mahomes, here's my advice to you. Like, take a step back. Okay, you're good. You're definitely good. You are not yet even in the discussion of the all-time greats. You won one Super Bowl. You lost another, right? Yes, offensive line didn't play well, but you lost it. To willingly put yourself on the cover with the best quarterback of all time, it would be like if LeBron did it in like year three, right? With MJ. So Mahomes, you're awesome. And he's extremely talented. But when Aaron Rodgers won his first Super Bowl, you know, 10 years ago, everyone was like, well, he's one of the best ever. He's going to win multiple Super Bowls. Never won another one. To willingly go on the cover with Tom Brady, if he was the Eagles quarterback, I really wouldn't like it. But just to me, I think it's an unnecessary risk for him to take.
Wow. So again, I will reiterate.
Do you agree?
Don't care.
All right.
I don't agree. I think this is nothing.
Madden cover matters.
Yeah. I don't think it does.
It does.
I really don't.
It's the curse, number one.
Yeah.
If you're Mahomes, like, you know, there's that. You're playing with fire.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Monco and talk to my buddy, Ron. Ron!
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Ron? Good to hear.
It was a reserved Ron
what
intro.
A game.
I was expecting him to come in hot. Ron, what's
there's,
up, buddy?
I'll tell you what, the first 3-5 minutes, I thought this thing was just over.
Yeah, yep. Ron, I thought they were going to lose by 30 when they came out. Like, they looked discombobulated, uninterested, and, like, no one had any idea what was happening. It was a wild start.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Ben Simmons, it doesn't matter what happens because he's gone. They're going to get rid of him.
I think you're right.
There's no question in my mind. You know what's funny though, guys? Mm-hmm. In the series before that, okay, with who was it? Washington.
Washington.
Who did we play before this series?
Washington. Yes.
I can't hear you guys.
Washington.
I can't hear you.
I look forward to hearing what's funny. We'll set it up well.
Yeah, Ron, we'll get back to you, buddy. Sorry about that. Let's go to Anthony in Ardmore. What's up, Ant?
Yo, what's up, Seltzer?
How you doing, pal?
ESP, what's going on?
What up, man? Good to talk to you.
What's up? Me and my cousin call you the professor. That's what we call you.
So that was funny because in middle school, because of And One Basketball, my nickname was the professor.
Really?
So I don't know if you guys get that reference, but yeah.
Nice.
Oh, really? What, can you ball like that?
Oh, I can ball like that, yeah. And plus, back in the day, I dressed like the professor. So, you know, it evened itself out.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to talk a little Sixers. I want to talk a little Eagles, too.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was nerve-wracking. I'm glad they pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
But coming back home, it's not even like – I don't even – like during the regular season, like, we usually win at home. But, like, oh, yeah, we got a home game. But, like, doesn't even matter anymore.
Well, what's nerve-wracking is they've lost 2 of 3 at home to the Hawks, if I'm not mistaken, right? Game one and game five.
Yeah.
So, and they – game one, they dominated for all but, 8 minutes of it. They just fell behind an insane amount.
Yeah,
in those
game
eight
five,
minutes.
They dominate all but 14 minutes
right.
of it or whatever.
So,
yeah.
It's funny how everyone says last night the start was so nerve-wracking. But even if they would have jumped ahead by 20 last night, you would have been nervous.
Yeah.
But I think coming back home is so huge. This Hawks team – does not have playoff experience. They're walking into environment. I just don't know if they're ready for it. So I do still think having it at home is huge.
Yeah, and I thought, like, Ben last night, like, after the national media coming at him, I thought, like, he would be like, I'm just going to go out.
Me too.
I don't care.
Me too.
And he showed up, like
weak.
A deer in headlights.
Yeah,
like
weak.
Normal
weak.
Ben.
Yeah, honestly, I'm with you. Like, it's one of those spots where that game – five and the free throws and all of it, like the fan in the stands, like a father trying to teach his kid how to shoot free throws, like that was as embarrassed as I've ever been for a professional athlete watching a sporting event in my life, like just pure embarrassment for Ben Simmons. And the fact that he couldn't use that game and come out with fire in the next one, that he came out the way he did, like, you just can't believe in the guy. Like, it's it. Like,
well, Ben came out and said it was mental, and obviously I'll take his word for that if that's what he says. But also, I just don't think he's good enough. Like, I understand the mental part of it; it's for sure, there.
Yeah,
he
sure,
said
yeah.
it himself, but he just has never done it in 5 years. So expect him to do it now is just unrealistic.
And
he's not a max player.
No,
well,
he's
clearly,
not.
He's a role player. And what's your Eagles point?
My Eagles point is I'm going with ESP. I think Hurts is going to be the starting quarterback of.
I like it.
2022.
And I love Hurts too.
One last thing. Seltzer, finally got your email. Me and my cousin Buns are going to take you and ESP out for some Seltzer juice and some Professor juice anytime you guys want. On us, wherever you guys want.
Sounds
let
good.
Me know.
Love it, Ant. We'll talk, brother. Appreciate the call as always, my friend. Great
the
stuff.
The idea of having anything to drink right now after my last
bachelor party.
Yes,
yeah, I would think you're on a slippery slope there.
Yes,
you know?
But that sounds like it'd be fun.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on the Sixers team heading into game 7? Are you confident that they're going to get it done? And then moving forward, what kind of confidence level do you have with this team? And if you want to get an Eagles call in, and if you want to tell us your belief level in Jalen Hurts, we're always happy to that.
Always a discussion.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. We're coming right back. Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Go Sixers Radio today.
Go Sixers Radio.
Yeah, buddy.
The playoff run does feel a lot different. As I said before, growing up, I was in, I think, 8th grade when the Sixers made their finals run. So I was, like, the perfect age for it. I was just super getting into sports. Like, I was super fan. This does feel different. Maybe it's just because of my job. Maybe that's, what makes it feel different. But it does seem like it's not the same excitement level. Did you feel that at all? Or?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, 2001 was unique, and I was a little older than you, but it was, everyone in the city was in.
Yeah.
We all remember the Sixers flags,
yep.
all thing. We talked about on the show, on the midday show going in, where there was just, like, a lack of buzz around the Sixers, and I think there are a few parts of that, but I think the Ben Simmons thing is a part of it. Like, I think that when you see this guy do the same thing in the playoffs year after year, and you're counting on him to win a championship, it's like, why is this year going to be different? Why, when we get to the playoffs this year, is he going to all of a sudden be a different player. And it turns out that he isn't. And
no.
He hasn't.
Yes.
You know?
If they win game seven, it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is. Because it felt like after game five, like the obituary was written for this.
Oh, yeah.
People were out.
I think it's the worst non-series losing loss ever in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of it. I know 4-0 versus the Cardinals, the Cliff Lee game is up there. Like, there are some bad ones. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that was... I mean, it was
the whole time I'm watching it, and even until it wasn't until Joel missed those free throws where I was like, okay, they're going to lose. Like, outside of that, even when it was crumbling, I'm like,
still had
like,
hope and belief.
They're not going to lose this game, but they did. But then they won game
they
six.
Did.
So.
Well, it is crazy, too, to think about. I mean, I'm 39. You know, you're only a few years younger than me.
Yeah, 33.
33, like, similar age. And, like, we've seen one team go to the Eastern Conference Finals in our lifetime. Forget the finals. Forget winning a title.
The same team.
We've seen one team go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, if the Sixers can win tomorrow night, it'll be the second team in our lifetime. The second Sixers team in my 40, I guess, technically 1983, I was alive for, but obviously it was two, I don't remember.
We're super aware of what was happening.
Like, so in my cognizant lifetime, it'll be the second time ever a Sixers team has gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like,
I mean, Game 7 is wild to think that's going to happen. Like, Sunday, 8 o'clock, Game 7. South Philly.
It's going to be awesome.
Very excited. Awesome.
Please win.
They'll win. They will win.
94-94. Let's go back to the phones and talk to our buddy in Southwest. What up, Ike?
What up, y'all? How y'all doing, man?
How are you? Good to hear your voice, Ike.
Yeah, appreciate you mentioning it. Both of y'all mentioning Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth to everybody out there. That's real love right there. Here's my thing. You know everybody killing Ben, and I think it's definitely deserved or whatever, but you know who was worse than Ben last night?
Who?
The refs.
The refs were so bad. Hey, Ike, I am sorry. We're 51 minutes into this show. I apologize for not commenting on that trash that was the refereeing last night.
That was egregious, man. It was like it really felt like the fix was in last night.
Which is weird because you would think they want game seven, right? Like, if you're like looking at it from a fixed perspective, it's like more games.
Well, let me ask both you guys this. I agree that the calls were bad. If Ben Simmons doesn't get in foul trouble, do the Sixers win the game?
Oh, spinning it around.
Did the refs help the Sixers? Because getting Ben off the court is why they won that game. If Ben doesn't get the foul trouble.
The refs didn't help us because they took 3 points off the board for us. Yeah. They gave him
that was a horrendous call. Right. The
they gave Embiid a foul when he got dunked on, but the ball had his arm around.
I know,
around
he was like strangling.
And going into those last free throws at the end, I think the Hawks had like a 12 or 13 free throw advantage before that, too.
Yo,
our starters
didn't shoot a free throw into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
part
Joel,
of that's on Ben, though.
Joel not shooting a free throw to the fourth quarter, that's like not.
Agreed.
It's not possible.
Yo, it was plays you've seen. It was one play when Tobias drove to the basket, he got hit and shot the layup and missed the layup. I just thought they called the foul. And then they kept playing. I'm like, hold. They didn't call the foul on that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then they gave Embiid a tech when the guy was pulling him out of bounds and Trae Young was pushing him from behind.
Yep.
And I just thought that. And then here's the other thing. A dude ran off the bench for Atlanta.
And he didn't
even get a check.
No, he should have.
He didn't even get a check.
No, you're right.
So that's it. And I'm going to say this, because I know everybody killed Ben. And like I said, a lot of this stuff is legit.
You're not
hearing me. I say a lot of it is legit.
Yep.
But I will say this, and if you want to be fair with it, last night, who was the most important part of the game for the Sixers? In my opinion, coming out of the third quarter when Seth caught fire and we went on that 12-0 run, 14-0 run, Ben had the assist on every one of Seth's threes.
That's a good point.
Yeah, when he gave him the handoff screen three.
Yeah, I mean, look, those aren't the toughest assists in the world, to be fair.
Well, hold up. But they always talk about that. That screen assist. They was talking about that all year. That's the NBA thing now. Mm-hmm. That one when he got the ball, pushed it up ahead, and Seth hit that three in Bogdanovich's face. Then it was the one when he ran across. That was one of the most important runs of the game. The man got to get better, and he's hurting us right now. But I just want to be fair.
No,
he was a part of that, John. Y'all are my guys, man. I love this show, man.
You're
always, man.
Go
Sixers, go Birds. Y'all be easy. Happy Father's Day, James, my man.
A pleasure, man. Right. Seriously, I love Ike.
That's the thing about Ben. Yeah, he's a great caller. Oh, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's the thing about Ben. Like, the one thing I can't completely rip him for is when he doesn't have it, which is often, he at least knows that. Like a lot of stars, as much as I want Ben to be aggressive, it's almost better sometimes when he's not, because he's just not good enough to be aggressive, if that makes sense. I'm kind of convoluted here. But
no, I
respect
I
his
it.
Mentality not to shoot the team.
You're
to
saying,
a loss.
Like, don't be Giannis and go 0 for 8 from 3. And
yes.
I get that. I get that. Just to show that you'll do it, can do it, whatever.
He is willing to take a backseat.
God, he's so frustrating. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Fox Chase and talk to Jim. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
What's on your mind today?
So, first of all, I love the show. I love what you guys do. But I want to just talk about the game yesterday and for Sunday for Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry and Maxey, if those guys don't do what they did yesterday, they don't win that game.
Agree.
Maxey was – he came in when it was 20-8, and he was just – came in with big energy.
Yeah.
That rookie wanted the moment. And then to start the third quarter when we were down 4 – Steph Curry, when we went on that 14-0 run and he got 11 of the 14 points, I feel like those were the big turning points of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe and Harris wasn't really doing anything at that point. And for Game 7 on Sunday, just what's thoughts on like what we have to do and what do you think, Ben Simmons, I feel like he's not in the right place right now. Curious if like he gets off to a bad start because you know he's going to start. Do you put Maxey in right away and just go with that lineup because they were really great together? You know, Maxey, Curry, Harris, Thibault, and Embiid at the end.
Yeah.
So
Jim,
I'm just curious on your thoughts about that.
Yeah, Jim, great question. Great call. We're up against a break. We will answer that next, Jim. Great question. Coming up next, we'll give you our thoughts on what the Sixers need to do lineup wise and obviously mentality wise. To take Game 7 at home against the Hawks. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Go Sixers Radio. Go Birds Radio. It's Elliot. It's James. And again, let me remind you that no one does live in-game play-by-play betting better than the Park Sportsbook app. It's our sportsbook app of choice. Baseball's back. Golf's in full swing. If you sign up now, you can bet live on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and so much more. They have an incredible offer to get you in on the action. As a new customer, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $500. Yes, $500. The Park Sportsbook app is the only sportsbook app based right here in the Delaware Valley, and they have it all. Live in-game betting, which is a wild ride. It is a blast. They do parlays, props, teasers, and so much more. You can bet on individual player performances in pro hoops, hockey, baseball, things like points, rebounds, goals, strikeouts. Elliot and I have been having a blast betting these player props in this pro hoops action. There is a lot of opportunities to make some money, some inefficiencies, take advantage of it. And again, it's just so much fun. It makes these games, these fun games you're going to watch anyway, have that much more juice to them. The Parks, you know, Sportsbook app gives you the home field advantage. Again, here's the deal for new customers only. Sign up now. You get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS, and again, that's PARXcasino.com/PA, and use our promo code GOBIRDS. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Go Sixers Radio today. One more hour from us leading off at 3 o'clock with...
Go Phillies Radio.
With me. Yeah. I'll be here for leading off, and then a little on deck after that, and then Phillies Giants, Gabe.
Getting his revenge last night.
Good for Gabe. I like Gabe.
Yeah, I'm happy to see him win.
He's great. He's doing a great
job. I wish Girardi would be as great.
Wish Girardi were Gabe. Who thought we would be saying that, huh?
Yeah, a few people. Joe Gilio is certainly
sure
one
did.
Of them. Yeah.
Sure did. 215-592-9494. Prior to the break, caller had a really great question about the keys to the game for the Sixers tomorrow night. Coming up in a minute, we'll get Elliot's three keys to the Sixers winning in Game 7 first. We've already heard him impersonated multiple times today. Not just once, but multiple times. Let's get the real thing. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to our buddy Justin. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How you doing today?
Man, the legend today, getting all types of people
I know.
Referencing
it's like everybody is. We got fellas right and left. You do you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to keep listening. Love you, boys. Like, all over the place. It's great.
I heard Tom from Vancouver, and I was laughing. My wife looked at me like I was an idiot. Actually, it's... Justin from Tennessee by way of Florida. We're down here on vacation.
Ooh, look at you.
And I can't let a day go by without talking to my boys now.
Always
and,
good to hear.
Y'all changed up the format, but hey, I'm nothing but flexible. I can talk to
How you doing today, man? Enjoying vacation? How you feeling about the game, I guess, more importantly?
I'm doing better now that I'm talking to you. The drive down here has been very stressful. A lot of stop and go, a lot of stop and go.
Yeah, that's
so,
the worst.
The game, I went to sleep last night. I had to get some sleep because we got up at about 3 o'clock this morning to head down here.
Brutal.
But I heard, is it Mike from Norwood that called in and says that Ben is the tin man? Is he?
Someone definitely calls in and calls him the tin man, for sure.
I'd imagine a few people have referenced that.
Well, he calls him the tin man because, you know, he plays with no heart. You could probably have the entire cast of the Wizard of Oz. You know, Tobias looks like the Cowardly Lion at times, you know.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Doc, he seems like the Scarecrow if he only had a brain at times.
This is good. And, this is good content right here, Justin. I like this.
Joel's like Dorothy. He needs to get to Oz so he can get home, and home is the title. And then you've got Mike and Curry swapping out playing Toto. You know, dragging everybody along.
Well done.
This is an amazing comparison. Well done.
I mean, it's the truth. So, one thing I want to get to. Did Kawhi get along with Doc when Doc was in L.A., or is that why Doc's not in L.A.?
So, I'm sure that's a part of it. We don't know specifically why Doc. Look, the blown series
played a role,
but I think more than anything, if I had to guess, I think Kawhi probably had a big role.
Well, if I remember too, one of the things was Doc gave Kawhi like a ton of leeway on stuff. Like I think he flew separately within the team sometimes. So I mean, Doc's thing was supposed to be managing stars, and you've seen it a little bit with how he handles Ben. But you know why? As to why he's gone, I'm sure Kawhi had a role in that, but we're seeing it firsthand. Like he's just not a great playoff coach, which is crazy because he's won a title, but he's also
over three Hall of Famers.
Yeah, oversaw some of the worst playoff collapses in NBA history.
Yeah, well, the reason why I ask, I know that isn't Kawhi going to be a free agent after this season?
He can opt out.
He can opt out.
And that's what, you know, that's what I was kind of hoping for maybe, but if he and Doc didn't get along, you know, if by the way they could trade, you know, Ben somewhere, you know.
I think Kawhi's going to stay.
Well, here's the good news, guys. If Kawhi wants to come to Philadelphia, I'm pretty sure, and he doesn't want Doc will be gone. So, you know, I think Doc should hope that Kawhi does like him if Kawhi wants to come here.
One more thing real quick, and I'll let you guys go. Listening, I always hear Elliot talking about this gambling stuff now, and I remember way back when y'all first started this, when y'all were going to the actual casino, when Barchard was still around, Elliot didn't have a clue about gambling.
I know.
And Elliot sounds like Jimmy the Greek now, boy.
Justin, the transformation I have seen in him is unbelievable. He'll say things to me and I didn't even think of him. I'm like, that's a great idea. Yeah, let's do that bet. Like,
I've gotten so into it. It really is so much fun. And, obviously the whole culture around gambling and sports is changing, but I can't even imagine watching sports now without thinking from those type of ways.
So, James, you have created a monster.
Only the one monster could win more, but
Well, I'm going to get out here and keep listening like I always do, boys. Love you, man.
Enjoy your vacation, Justin.
I mean, last night after the game was over, the first thing I thought was, I wonder what the line is for game 7.
Yeah.
It's so telling. It looked 7 in a lot of places at least. Yeah. 7.5, something like that.
And I'll throw one out there. Elliot knows. I've won a few days in a row.
Just
open the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, check the player props for the Sixers game, and someone explain to me why Seth Curry keeps being in the 13, 14, 15 range. It has been easy money.
It's insane.
So go download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, use our promo code GOBIRDS, get your $500 risk-free bet, and bet on the Seth Curry over whatever it is, unless they finally jacked it up, but it has been low.
I mean, I would take it almost up to 19.
Yeah.
Dude, 18 and a half.
It's like a minimum 20 every game. All right, back to the phones in 1 second. Elliot, 3 keys to the Sixers winning game 7.
So this first one's going to sound silly because we've seen them jump out to big leads and it hasn't worked out. But I think tomorrow's a unique example where a big lead would just be so huge early because I don't think the Hawks are ready for the stage they're walking. Mm-hmm. You even saw it last night in game 6. I mean, they got off to a hot start, but they immediately crumbled, and that was at home. I just think it's so hard to knock a team out as opposed to just beating them in one of the games. If the Sixers can come out tomorrow, get some confidence, get going, I think the Hawks will definitely crumble.
I think another important part of that is that it's in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And the crowd can tighten up. And if you can get that crowd into it early, get that crowd to be a factor, a part of it, it'll only add to the Hawks' uncomfort.
Look, they've been one of the best home teams in the league. Yep. I mean, it's weird they've lost two or three to the Hawks at home, but they have been one of the best home teams in the league. The second one to me is you got to get Joel going early. They were lucky to win that game last night.
Agree.
With Joel coming out the way he did, it really looked like they were in a lot of trouble. So for them to get him going, I think is absolutely huge. And look, it's on Joel too. Like, they ran the plays for Joel. He missed it. But Joel, I believe he's one of the five best players in the league. But to cement your status as one of those guys, like, games tomorrow is where you do it. You saw Durant do that in game five for the mm-hmm. Nets. Like, tomorrow is not a game Joel can lose. And the cast around him is not great. It's certainly Ben, Toby, all those things that we've discussed. But if we're going to be, you know, we were super hard on Carson for not, or at least I was, super hard on Carson for not winning, even though maybe his roster wasn't great. Tomorrow's a game Joel Embiid, the should have been NBA MVP, the top five player in the league, needs to go out and win.
Yeah, look, there are not many examples in playoff NBA history of the better player not winning a game like this.
Right.
There aren't that many. Like, generally, it's rudimentary, it's simple, but generally the best player wins these games.
Yeah.
And Embiid, as great as Trae Young has been, I think Trae Young's, I love that guy. He's going to be really good for a really long time. Joel Embiid's better right now. Joel Embiid is the best player in this game. He should win the game. I'm with you.
Third one. Don't worry about Ben's feelings.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him playing more than he should just because you've paid him a big deal. This is a must-win game tomorrow. And look, we just talked about Joel. You owe it to Joel to put the best players with him. If Joel has it going, you can't worry about saying, all right, I'm going to leave Ben in even though they're hacking him, those type of things. And, you know, I guess a point 3A or whatever would be put Tyrese Maxey in. Like, trust the guy. This Sixers need somebody that's hot right now. He is hot.
Got
he's feeling confident. Yeah, they need a spark. And he's given that to them. So I don't know if I would start him. You can make the argument Firk still makes some sense just because he's a shooter and he's a little more like Danny Green. But I want Tyrese Maxey in the game early, often. I want the ball in his hands. And I'm not worried about how that impacts Ben. It's past that point. Ben had his chance. He did. And, you know, hopefully he comes out tomorrow and plays well. But if you see it, then you have to go to Maxey quickly.
I 100% agree with you. Nailed
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah, and that Ben point is so true. Like, this is it. It's a game seven. Win or go home. Like,
and you owe it to Joel.
You owe it to everyone on that team.
Think about,
like, Joel especially, but all these guys. Like, Seth Curry's going out there and crushing it for you. Like, Tyrese Maxey's going out there as a rookie and mm-hmm. giving you all he's got. All these guys. Like, you owe it to them to not do something because of Ben's feelings, because of his, you know, whatever it's going to, confidence, all
right.
that stuff. Like, you got to win the game. You have to coach to win the game.
The other thing is the game tomorrow is so huge for Joel from this respect. When we think about the Joel and Ben journey, kind of what they've been over the last 2-3 years, each of the last 2 years, I would say we ended the season and said, like, they got to take a step forward. They got to, like, put the work in, do whatever, take the next step. Joel did that. Joel was, in my opinion, the MVP of the NBA this season. He turned into, at times, the best player in the league, which is an amazing accomplishment. He did it through working hard. He got in great shape, all those things. And then he didn't get MVP. He didn't get first-team All-NBA. He should have been more in the defensive player of the year discussion. But what kind of rationalized that is you hear, well, it's okay because he thinks he's going to win a ring. I think it's super important that Joel sees the fruits of his labor pay off. And if they lose game seven and don't advance any further than they did any of these other years, after Joel just did what he did, I think that would be extremely deflating to Joel. So I think that it's just a massive game in that regard of showing Joel that this work you did really pay off.
215-592-9494. What are your keys to the Sixers winning game seven tomorrow night? Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Ardmore and talk to Ned. Hey, Ned.
Yo, what's up, guys?
My man, Ned. What's going on?
Is this Ned? Ned?
Yeah, this is Ned.
Hey, Ned.
Pod Ned.
Podcast yes, listener Ned. Ned, awesome to talk to you, man. How are you?
Yeah, how are you guys? I never have Saturday off.
This is awesome.
My last day vacation. So.
It's awesome, man. We always say we love when pod listeners call and we, like, genuinely do.
Yes.
So it's really
awesome.
Yeah,
every time I hear one call, I'm like, well, maybe someday that'll be me.
Today's the day, Ned. We did it.
So, I mean, I think that's something that Richie said earlier this week really stuck with me is, like, who is the quarterback of this team?
You know,
last night you thought a couple times with Maxey, even Tobias a couple times. But, like, when you come down the floor on offense, Simmons just stands there. Like, I hate to just keep dumping on him, but, you know, what is – you know, he's not bringing anything leadership to the team. And, you know, Joel is obviously the best player on the team.
Yeah, look, to your point about who's the quarterback, I think it's a little hard for Joel to be the quarterback just because of the position he plays. I can't think of a perfect analogy of like what Joel would be on a football team, but it's just hard for the center to be a quarterback. Like, he's a phenomenal player. He's a leader, as I just said. He should have been MVP. It's just harder for him to do it. So, yeah, this team has a problem in the regards of, look, we all season we said guard play was an issue. Last night they won the game because not because of the guards they normally play, although Seth does play a lot, mm-hmm. but it wasn't Toby and Ben, it was Seth and Max.
Yep.
And so last night they were the quarterbacks, but you still have to have that unsure, you know, you can't be sure of who it'll be in game seven.
Brett, I mean, even seeing, you know, you can see that Joel is obviously worn down from the injury and carrying the whole team on his back all season. And you could even see Seth when he was shooting free throws, like coming up to him and kind of hyping him up. And, mm-hmm. you know, you would hope to see that from Simmons at some point if they're the two stars. But I guess at the end of the day, they're just not, you know, it's just not Simmons.
Well, I think the key is. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I think the key is, like you just said, I mean, let Simmons get off in there and start, obviously. And if he's not doing anything offensively, and I mean, he's not really doing much defensively either, then get someone else in there, whether it's Maxie or, you know, someone else to get the spark going.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing with Joel, to your point about, like, neither of them are the guy, and I know you didn't need that as a shot at Joel, but I think what we're finding is one of the potentially harsh truths about Joel as a center is if we were building a team from scratch, none of us would pick a center to be our best player. Like, that doesn't mean Joel's not super talented. It doesn't mean he can't be the guy. But you just don't want a center as your best player because it's hard for a man that size to dominate for all four quarters. Just, he's 7 foot, 280.
And also you need to do plays for him. Like,
right.
You have the end of games, like a Kawhi, whoever, you know, these guys, LeBron, whatever it is, like, they can have the ball in their hands and make plays themselves. Like, Joel needs to be set up, you know, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I hope they can pull it out tonight. I'm obviously rooting for them, you know, I mean, but it's hard to kind of
believe.
Get 100% behind him right now.
Ned, I'm with you. Ned, great call, man. Call us again when you can. It's nice to talk to you, bro.
Yeah, I will when I can.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I that's kind of where I was at to start the show and kind of where I'm at in general is like, if betting my house on this game, I would pick the Sixers. They're more talented. They're at home. Like, I think they will probably win, but I certainly don't feel confident about it. I wouldn't purposefully bet anything on it. You know what I mean?
Like, well,
I
would, have the choice.
Unless I had to, you know. I'll be betting on Seth Curry to score points. I know that, but
I'm more confident than you are.
Easily.
Just because I just can't picture them losing this game. Like, I know they've lost bad in this series and that, you know, even when they're up 20+, you'll be feeling nervous tomorrow. I just think it's going to take more than the Hawks to end this team season. As flawed as they are, I'm not confident Ben's going to have a great game. I'm not confident Toby is. I'm confident they'll find a way to win somehow, some way.
Let's go to Allentown and talk to Gus. Hey, Gus.
Yeah, I got 4 points for you.
Lay it on.
All right.
First of all, right, Kawhi Leonard is a lot of things. As a matter of fact, he's everything. Mm-hmm. I'm his biggest fan, but the one he ain't. He ain't no leader.
Yeah,
that's
with you. That direction was not, you know.
That is absurd.
Kawhi leads with his play.
Well, but he can be a general.
He's
on
not
the floor.
A leader.
Yeah, he's a floor leader.
Explain that to the Clipper fan.
Plus, I think it's fair to say he's a floor leader. Like, he can lead in a game and stuff, but he's not like a leader.
Number two, Trae Young is the best player right now in this series because of Embiid's condition.
Yeah, look, I wasn't going to push back on James with that, but I mean, look, if I had to pick between Joel Embiid and Trae Young to have
Joel
tomorrow,
I would still take Joel, but I get it. Look,
I don't know.
Embiid gets elevation one out of every two games now. The other thing, third, put this in your notebook.
All right.
There are no blown leads in the NBA because no lead is safe. Mm. That is literally true. It's not a figure of speech. It's literally true. There is no lead that's safe.
I agree with you, but again, like when you hear that they're the first team in 25 years to blow an 18,
doesn't matter.
Does matter in the sense that, like, yes, there are leads that get blown, but they have done it at a historic.
Let me explain my point. I actually think that last night the Hawks, that was a bigger blown opportunity than the fifth game against the Sixers. I'll tell you why. The reason why the Sixers lost that fifth game is because the Atlanta Hawks shot 70% in the fourth quarter. Okay? That's the reason why they lost. One of the big reasons.
Well, 70%. I mean, there were a number of reasons. Guys,
but that's a big reason.
All right, what's your fourth point, Gus?
Well, the point is that the Sixers, what's the excuse for the Atlanta losing to the Sixers last night? Because the Sixers sure as hell didn't shoot 70% in the fourth quarter. There was no reason for the Hawks to lose that game. They've never been in that spot before.
John Collins stunk, Bogdanovich stunk, and then got hurt. Like, they weren't ready for the moment, Gus.
Well, let's not take it all away from the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey came in there and won the game for them.
What is your point, Gus?
The reason the Hawks lost because they didn't play well enough. The reason why the Sixers lost in the fifth game was because they didn't play well enough. Also, the Hawks played out of their mind in the fourth quarter.
The Sixers lost game five way more than the Hawks won. I think I made a good point.
Jim, if you listen to my point, I think I made a good point. The Atlanta played better in the fourth quarter in the fifth game than the Sixers did.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Okay, now the last point I want to make is I think what Bob Doc has to do is he has to shorten his bench for the seventh game.
I agree with you. Look, and good call, Gus. Like, that's what you do in the playoffs. Like, Milwaukee's playing like six guys.
Yeah.
Forbes is playing like 11 minutes a game, and that's it. Like, they're playing seven guys and six, really, they're playing. Like, but at a certain point, especially in a game seven, like, you win or lose with your guys. You know,
yeah,
I don't need to see Shake Milton. I don't need to see, like, these extra, like, bench minutes where it's, like, the start of the fourth quarter, the start of the second quarter. Like, no. Like, win or lose with your guys.
I agree. Dwight Howard's been really bad. Shake has been up and down, and unfortunately he's more on the downside right now. But bad news for all of us, like, Doc isn't changing.
I know.
You know, he's going to do what he does.
But I agree with Gus. Gus is right about that. That's what you do in the playoffs. You shorten your bench. And we have not seen Doc do it enough. Let's go to Florida and talk to Ja'Cory. Ja'Cory, how about your Clippers?
I did not see that coming, buddy.
Elliot and I both talked after Kawhi went down at 2-2, and we're like, well, they're done.
Yeah.
Jazz are winning that series. Jazz,
playoff P.
Fraud Jazz.
Yeah.
How about you, Ja'Cory? Congrats, buddy.
Don't count us out. Bet your money on the Clippers, man.
I love it.
Shout out to Paul George, Terrence Mann, all them guys.
Man is good.
Yeah, man's good.
By the way, he's better than Ben Simmons. He is. I don't even think it's close.
Oh, brother.
You gotta pump the brakes, Elliot. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to give it all to him. But, the last caller, you know, they were talking about Kawhi and Doc. They did, but I feel like he didn't use Kawhi and, you know, Paul George the right way. I think he was trying to use Paul George like a, you know, J.J. Redick or Ray Allen, just have him shoot corner threes. He's not that.
Yeah.
He can facilitate and score. But going back to y'all with the 76ers, man, I think y'all can pull it out. Y'all just got to come out and set the tone right from the first quarter, you know. And B can't be sitting on a three-point line taking jump shots.
Yeah.
Get your big behind on the block and post up. Ben Simmons, you got to go all out.
Well, to your point about setting the tone, like, that's on Joel, in my opinion. You would like to see it from Ben, but Joel can do it on both sides of the court. He's the number one player on the team. It's his, you know, his team at home, game seven. It is on him to come out. Yes, you hope that Ben and Toby do as well, and they should be expected to, but it is more, in my opinion, on Joel to set the tone tomorrow.
Yeah. It was so good last night. I celebrated last night. I went out with my friends from the club.
Nice.
And I was right there watching the game, and y'all wasn't proud of me. But, man, I think y'all can win this game because I really want to see y'all, either Milwaukee or the Nets, in the conference finals. Then you never know. It might be us versus y'all in the championship.
Ja'Cory,
that would be some epic Go Birds calls.
That would be great. Ja'Cory, thanks for calling, man. Great as always. Nope. Yeah.
Sorry, Ja'Cory, I still don't believe in the Clippers,
I think the Suns are. Yeah, I was actually checking to see what the odds were for Phoenix in four.
I think it's a little aggressive.
But we'll see. 215-592-9494. Where do you stand on the Sixers heading into game seven? As we have a game seven.
I know.
In Philly tomorrow night. Like, it just.
My only slight beef is 8 o'clock doesn't feel like a game seven start time. I think this feels more like a 5:30, 6 o'clock type of start. Am I overthinking this?
I mean, I hate late starts, so I'm always in for an earlier start.
Yeah, 8 o'clock
is Sunday and all that. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, but I'm not surprised.
3:30 feels like that type of game, not 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I am very excited.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Hopefully.
Get in. 215-592-9494. Where do you stand with the Sixers team heading into that game? And, of course, if you want to, we do talk Eagles from time to time.
Yeah. So, any Eagles questions you have, we're here.
We're here for it. So if you can think of something with the Eagles to talk about, we're happy to,
have
to talk about it. 215-592-9494. It's James and Elliot. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Go Sixers Radio today.
Go Sixers Radio.
I love it.
It's got a good ring to it.
We're between a game six and a game seven, and, yes. and there's literally not the biggest thing that's happened with the Eagles was Nick Mullins like a week and a half ago. All right.
Like, I don't even like that signing.
Yeah, so we're good, dog. It's of Sixers, 215-592-9494 to get in. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk to someone who I'm gonna guess is not on the positive side of things. Mm. We don't talk Sixers with him, so maybe he's one of those people who just like crushes the Eagles and then comes around and gives the Sixers a lot of credit, and they're great and all that. I'm going to guess he's much more of a watch-the-world-burn-across-the-board yes. the board type of guy. Let's see. If I had to guess, does Mad Mike think the Sixers are winning Game 7? What up, Mike?
Well, they're going to lose one.
Oh, my.
Two, I'm sorry
called
I'm late.
It.
I'm on
Nailed
vacation.
It. Thank you.
I'm on vacation right
it's all
now.
Good,
so.
Buddy. I can't believe you called us on vacation. That is
yeah,
too kind of you.
It was just down in, I'm an ONCMD. I was doing some kayaking. You know,
nice. Doing, Ew. An outdoorsman.
So anyway, just so we're aware, Ben Simmons is the ultimate fraud. Mm. Like, he's such a – I never want to hear the Ben enablers ever again. This guy is a complete joke. I hope he gets traded this offseason. We never have to see his dumb face again. Mm.
Well, look, I think he will get traded this offseason.
Good. Cause
I don't know if I'm agree with you. I'm not going to agree with you about his face, but I do think he will get traded.
And let me say this. The Sixers team, this team is extremely hard to root for because all they are is, like, schoolyard bullies that, like, once you punch them in the face, they want to go cry to their mom and,
well,
like,
Well,
run
that
around.
Was not the case last night, right? Yeah. They got punched in the face to start
this whole
the game.
They've been exposed as just being front-running bullies, and you can't even deny that.
Hold on. Let me take this in a different direction real quick. Is there anything you're positive about, Mike? Because the things that we is there anything you're like optimistic about or whatever?
I'm optimistic that I'm never gonna have to see Ben Simmons in the Sixers uniform again after this season.
It was worth the shot. But look, you saw them take a punch last night and get back from it, right? So I don't see how you can say they can't take a punch. I mean, look, even the loss in Game 5, which was their own doing, trust me. But, you know, to rebound from that, I do think winning that game last night says a lot about them.
And by the way, Elliot, I was on a podcast last week, and I was talking about you on that podcast.
Oh,
and, glad I could provide content for you.
As you
they
do for
actually,
many.
They actually said, do you like Elliot? And I was like, I liked Elliot when he was negative. Like, I liked negative Elliot, and I wish you'd bring that guy back.
Look,
like,
when it's time to be negative, I'll be negative, but I know you're talking about my positivity
like,
with
Eagles. Well, Mike, you touch on something that's really funny, because for years now, people have just – crushed Elliot for being negative about the Eagles because of Carson Wentz, but negative about Carson Wentz and the Eagles. And now, like, he's positive about the Eagles, and people crush him for being too positive. You can't win.
Yeah, no, you could win. Just be, like, be your true self.
I am being my true self.
That's what he's doing. That's the point. His true self.
I would argue Mr. Mad Mike should consider maybe being his true
self
every
Mike's
once in a while.
This is definitely my true self. And if you knew me or any of the people that knew me, they know that this is who I am.
Well, let's end it with this, Mike. I'll say this. If some people ask me if I like you, I like you.
Yeah.
So it's
like
always good
too,
to
Mike.
Talk to you. Yeah.
I love you guys too. I definitely preferred the negative you. Like, you were like, I was like, yeah, I like this guy. I rock with this negative guy. And then you were like, oh, let me just be positive.
Well, I'm just telling the truth. They're way better than people think, the Sixers.
No offense, James. I love you, but I feel like you're a bad influence on Elliot. I think all your positivity has rubbed off.
I'm
and now
the one ripping the Eagles. What are you going to do here?
Yeah, but like, you're like the nicest person. I think it's
rubbed off
in a bad way on the Elliot.
Mike, you're the best, buddy. Enjoy your vacation.
Mike, have a good one.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens with the team this year.
Honestly have never been accused of my niceness rubbing off on someone as being a horrible thing. That is the first time that has ever happened in my
general
life.
General positive thing you want in your life if you make people around you
I feel like
nicer.
It'd be a good thing. I hope I make people happy around me.
You do.
Know, 215. Mike is something else, man.
Yes, sir.
Love him, but he is not... He's Mad Mike for
He's
a
mad.
Reason.
Yeah.
You know, generally, sometimes you'll hear a nickname or whatever, and it doesn't jive. Mad Mike is
fits him.
Perfect. All right, let's go to Bucks County and talk to Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on? I hope you don't mind talking some Eagles.
That's what we Always. Do, brother. That's what we do. What do you got on your mind today?
Yeah, I just had a quick hypothetical for each of you.
Nice.
And then
we love hypotheticals. We are not Chip Kelly.
I would like, both of you to touch on. So. Elliot, I'll start with you.
All right.
You'll often say, like, somehow, like, I'm always the guy that that ends up defending Howie when it seems like you agree with like a lot of his moves and generally like what direction he takes the organization in.
Yeah.
So if you had to choose out of these two options, one, fire him right now today, or guarantee Howie the next 7 years.
Whoa, what a good hypothetical. Can't get out of it. David, this is an outstanding hypothetical.
It is an amazing hypothetical. Yes. I will say the seven-year thing is very long. But to your point, if I had to pick out of those two, I would extend Howie.
Wow, you
because
would?
Because I think there's a better chance they'll find a worse GM. Although I trust Lurie to hire a new one, so that's part of it. But if I had to pick out of those two, I think I would extend Howie.
I wouldn't. Shockingly.
Okay. Well, yeah, James, I knew that. But I agree with you, though, Elliot.
You're going to get me in trouble on Twitter with
you.
That
Look
one.
That.
But, yeah,
so, Elliot Shore Parks is now officially a Howie guy.
There it is.
You can't
lock it in. Dave got me.
All right, what's my hypothetical, Dave?
Yeah, James,
how are you
going to
get me in
trouble? I know you and Elliot are not necessarily aligned on, like, the strength of the roster, so I was curious your answer on – I don't know who, like, you think is better, like, right now this year, like Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers. But hypothetically, if the Eagles traded for, which whatever one of those guys you think is better tomorrow, like, what would be your expectations for this team
All
this
right,
year?
Dave, you are officially our hypothetical
great,
guy.
Great, great hypothetical.
You're really good at these. Like, yeah. These are outstanding hypotheticals. It's an outstanding question. It is, because I do like Jalen Hurts, but, I mean – let's say you bring Aaron Rodgers in right now. I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson right now today.
Yes.
Obviously, if we're not talking about the future, we're talking about
right.
how good would they be right now. I think they're probably a 9 or 10 win team with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, get out of here. If they got Aaron Rodgers, I think they're a Super Bowl contender. Like, no doubt about it. The Packers aren't that good outside of Aaron Rodgers. They have some talented players, but I don't think the Eagles roster is that
much
worse.
What would you say, Dave? I'm guessing you agree with him on Howie, so I'm guessing you think they'd be a much, much better team if they brought Aaron Rodgers in.
Yeah, if we brought in Aaron Rodgers that did not win a playoff game, like, it would be an absolute failure. Like, that would be minimum expectations for me. At least one playoff win.
All right, Dave, what's your last one for us?
Yeah, last one. So the last
great
thing, like,
call,
this
Dave.
Year.
Call us more often. This is great.
Yeah, this year it's going to be fun comparing Wentz and Hurts this year. I was curious from both of your guys' perspective. Both for this year and moving forward, the entire offensive roster for both the Colts and the Eagles, which one would you rather have this year and then which one moving forward?
Are you including the quarterback too, or is it
just
around?
No, just like,
so take the quarterback out of the
offensive. Yeah, would you trade every Eagles offensive player on the roster for every Colts offensive player on the roster this year and then
another superstar, Dave? A great call. We will answer this question. Call again, man. These are great stuff.
I might
man.
Write an article about
I
that.
I love these. These are awesome.
I think I would take the Eagles.
I think I would probably take the Colts.
Well, let's look at it. All right, so the Colts receivers. You have T.Y. Hilton. So it seems
he was
talking about future as well.
I like Devontae Smith more than any Colts receiver.
Yeah. I mean,
but
Zach Ertz is still on the roster, so the tight ends are good.
Yeah, sure.
He's still on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, come on, though. But I think the Colts have the actual best offensive line. Like, their offensive line is better than the Eagles' offensive line, and it is way younger than the Eagles' offensive line.
So, interesting point. You know the ESPN expected win rate stat that they do, and they say, how often does an offensive line allow pressure in less than 2.5 seconds? The Colts and Eagles were tied last year.
Were they really?
Yeah. So I'm not so sure. Look, I think the Colts sometimes because of course, his name's escaping me right
Chris
now.
Chris Ballard.
No, the offensive lineman, the guard.
Oh, Quentin Nelson.
Because of Quentin Nelson, how good he is, I think sometimes their line gets overrated
that's
a little.
Interesting.
But the Eagles have more talent on their offensive line. Now, they're injury prone, which is obviously concerning. But if you said to me, like, take the quarterback out of it, I'll take the Eagles' offensive line, the duo they have at tight end. I think the Eagles arguably have better running backs, right? Miles Sanders. We both like Kenneth Gainwell, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then the receivers, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. showed stuff last year, which is, and T.Y. Hilton's probably the best, but I think Devontae Smith has the highest ceiling. But, yeah, I think I would take
Eagles. I'm not a huge T.Y. Hilton fan. Look, it's close. I don't think it's a definitive for me. Like, I'm not sure about it. If I really sit down and look at him, I think it's close.
Well, I think we know which one Carson would pick.
Well, I think we know which quarterback we would pick. So, sorry,
yes.
Carson. I feel pretty good with
nice
the quarterback
name, yeah.
we got. You know what I mean? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Pottstown and talk to Matt. Yo, Matt.
Hey, guys, I want to get to my Sixers point, but I don't want to get too tied up in it. But mark it down, June 19th, 2:39. I agree 100% with Elliot about if Aaron Rodgers was here, we're a Super Bowl team without
Brett. Absolutely. There's no question about it. Look, he was the MVP of the league last year.
It's no brainer.
Absolutely. The Packers roster is not that good outside of Aaron Rodgers.
Better than the Eagles roster.
Yeah. Kind of.
He literally carries. They complain that he's a whiner, but he literally carries them. But like I said, I want to talk Sixers. And I want to get into my points for tomorrow, which is going to roll into my overall problem or thing with the NBA.
Okay.
So first and foremost, I mean, no excuses. I mean, but Ben, honestly, for me, he's like third or fourth on the back burner in terms of tomorrow. They talked already about shortening up the bench. It's more than that. You need to put three guys in glass case, only break in case of emergency, and that's Howard, Hill, and where Mike Scott has been.
Yeah.
Those three guys should not even sit in the front row of the team. They should be in the back with the water and the towel guy.
Well, I agree with you. What's frustrating about that is George Hill was literally acquired for these moments. I mean, this is why you brought him in, a veteran
horrible
point guard. Yeah.
He was better last night than he's been in any other game, and he was still horrible.
He's a shell of what he is. I don't know if he's hurt or whatever, but he's ineffective.
Well, he was hurt for a while. Let's remember that. Like, he was hurt, came back late. You know, we were all like, when is he even going to play? So maybe it is a lingering.
Well, it was a hand injury.
Keep him out of the way. The other part is this.
I mean,
I've never been a fan of it, and it's burned me for the last few games. We cannot start Korkmaz. It throws everything out of sync. He shouldn't be a starter to begin with, but you cannot start Korkmaz. I think Maxey has proven himself yesterday.
Oh, start Maxey.
You've got to give him
but
the start
him
tomorrow,
off ball.
I would rather they start Seibel and attack it defensively and go that route and bring Korkmaz in like you normally do. Let him be a spark off the bench. Let him be a firecracker.
I generally agree with the thought process, but I mean, in reality, what you'd really like to see him do is start Maxey and Seibel and have Simmons and on the bench because I'm saying starting Simmons and Seibel is a detriment offensively. Like, I understand why they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the last part of it, and this will bleed into the other part so I can close it out. So from a rotation standpoint, they got to stop with this wholesale change and leaving Tobias out there with the four dregs. It's just not effective.
Agreed.
We're losing points. And the last part is this. When they do that, if you got to take JoJo off the floor when he does, put Ben down below. He can defend Capella, and if need be, if we get in that situation, we should be putting hands on Capella because he's as bad at the line as Ben.
Yeah.
But Ben should be playing down in the post. It hides him a little bit. And beyond that, the officials, we talked about it. They were egregious. It's not even a questionable call, like, you know, maybe if or that. Those calls are so bad last night. Here's my X factor fear. JoJo's going to get ejected because he's not the guy that you just manhandle around like that. You saw it yesterday. He is about one push or swing from being put out. And if that happens, it's a wrap. So it was egregious to the point where the league needs to address it. I'm not talking about a whiny Sixer fan because we won.
No.
You look at Harden, NBA across the board. Defense is getting penalized,
Matt,
flopping is getting rewarded.
Matt, I'm with you. Matt, great call. We're up against it. Great call. And look, Joel came out and spoke out against the officiating after the game in strong words. Like and look, I know players will complain here and there. Like, that was pointed. That was Joel saying, like, you guys were horrible tonight. Like, that can't happen in Game 7. And it can't happen in Game 7.
I don't disagree with you, but bottom line is it shouldn't come down to the officials. If the Sixers lose, the officials will be far down the list. But he did make a good point. Like, Joel has flirted with really getting in trouble. Tomorrow he has got to walk the line of being emotionally there, getting him going, but he's got to, you know, control.
He needs to control his emotions.
Yeah.
There's no question. 215, he's too important because any player who he's getting into it with, even if they get tossed out, it's
not
a loss for the Sixers.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio. We got one more segment to go, and let me remind you one more time that no one does live in-game play-by-play betting better than the Park Sportsbook app. It's our sportsbook app of choice. Baseball's back. Golf's in full swing. You can sign up now and bet live on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and so much more. They have an incredible offer to get you in on the action. As a new customer, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $500. $500! The Park Sportsbook app is the only sportsbook app based right here in the Delaware Valley. They have it all. Live in-game betting, which is a wild ride. Parlays, props, teasers, and so much more. You can bet on individual player performances in pro hoops, hockey, and baseball. Things like points, rebounds, goals, and strikeouts. We have had a blast doing this during the pro hoops action that's been going on. Of course, tomorrow night in Philadelphia, Game 7. You can get some action on it. Player props all of it. The app is fun. It's easy to use. It's intuitive. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app gives you the home field advantage. Again, here's the deal. New customers only. Sign up now and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS. And again, that's PARXcasino.com/PA. And use our promo code GOBIRDS. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parx Casino and Sportsbook. Last segment for Go Sixers Radio today. Coming up next, leading off, Phillies Giants. After that, we'll get you set. I will still be here.
An equally big game.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Yeah.
Same thing. 215-592-9494. Let's get as many calls in as we can before we get out of here. Let's talk to Dave on the cell. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Father's Day, James.
Thanks, man. You too, man. I really appreciate that.
You know, I think my comment is just basically like the text message thing I had last night, because my friend was going all crazy for Maxi. Maxi, he played fine. He had a kind of a normal pedestrian set of minutes for a legitimate point guard. And we're just like celebrating as if it were 4th of July.
Well, it saved the season.
Yeah, he really came through in a big spot. And he's a rookie. He was the 21st pick in the draft. For him to have that kind of, you know, ability to, in that moment with his team season on the line, like take the reins. I don't know. I think that's something that's pretty special, personally.
Don't get me wrong. I love Maxi. I mean, I've watched every single minute that he's played. I do love him. I think the point is a legitimate point guard who's just playing however he's playing looks like a huge breath of fresh
air.
Yes,
you're absolutely correct.
Well said. I got you, Dave.
It's the rebound girl. It's the backup quarterback. Everybody loves the backup quarterback because he's just doing normal things at any point guard. I mean, Lou Williams could have been out there. 30 other players in the NBA, you know, could have done anything that Maxi did last night. It wasn't, you know, that amazingly special.
I think because he's a rookie.
He just looks that special.
But because he's a rookie in that moment, I do think from that perspective. But I do think there is part of what you're saying is right. In that, look, the Tyrese Maxi still does step in and play well and come through. But the idea of going from Ben to someone who did that, even if it's not this amazing job, it does probably look
better. And I think part of it, you're right, like statistically, it wasn't like he dropped 40 points.
16,
but,
yeah.
But the thing about the start of the game last night was everyone looked so shook, right? Joel looked shook. Tobias looked shook. Ben certainly looked shook. So I think what made Maxi's performance like bigger than the stat sheet is he came in and looked so confident and so prepared that that's what really stood out. As opposed to, you're right, I mean, he, again, didn't drop 40 points. He had a good stat line.
Yeah,
but
16,
it was more how he
boards.
Kind of controlled everything and saved the season.
Lack of turnovers out. Stands out too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he always plays happy-go-lucky. Remember, what did he have, like a 39-point game when, like, everyone was out? He always looks happy-go-lucky. I love that about him. Last question for you guys. What do you think, because I got to, just in case we lose tomorrow, which will be horrible, but, like, I go into a deep depression after that. What is Thybulle's ceiling?
It's a good question, Dave. Great call. Call us more. I think Thybulle actually has a pretty high ceiling in terms of if he can develop a look. Dybul's never going to be breaking people down off the dribble and stuff like that, but if he can just get to, like, I think a slightly better Danny Green, like that type of ceiling, like he
it's
could
a
be,
good one. He's a winning player.
He could be a starter on a championship team is the
yes.
point. Like, if he can get the 3-point percentage up close to 40 at 40, whatever, he could be a really, really valuable player for teams. Like 3-and-D, like he's that. He
yeah.
can be that if he can knock down the shots.
I don't think he'll ever break down guys on the dribble, like you said. But I think he could be a little more too than just threes. He's a very good cutter.
Yeah.
He can finish around the rim.
No,
he's very athletic. And then I also think, I mean, defensively, look, Danny Green was a great defensive player. Covington was the name that popped into my head first. I think he can be better than Covington.
Yeah, his defensive ceiling's really high.
Like, I mean, he could be the best defensive player in the league next season.
I mean, look, he was a second team all defense this year with
like 20 minutes
a guy off the bench. I mean, that's pretty wild. 215-592-9494. Let's go to New Mexico and talk to our buddy David. Hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
What's going on, man? Good to hear from you.
All right, on, man. But happy Father's Day and Juneteenth to everybody.
Yes.
And it was awesome. First of all, Dallas sucks.
There
Dallas
it is.
And,
sucks.
Well said, man. Well said.
Yeah. And I can't believe that Mike actually believes half the stuff that comes out of his face.
He's a hater. He's a hater.
At a certain point, it's like, are you really this angry? Like, how do you survive
I don't believe this.
Upset?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. But then again, you know, it is what it is. Hey, look, I love the Sixers. I've always loved the Sixers. They've always been my squad. But I'm telling you, the one thing I hate about basketball, I don't like a weak big man. Don't like a scared big man. Mm-hmm. Simmons has got to play with a heck of a lot more confidence. We've been waiting for this to happen for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for tomorrow, Joel Embiid has got to be the rock. He's got to be the rock. He's got to control his emotions. He's got to be productive. He's got to be smart. He has to be what everybody expects him to be as a big man in the center. There's not many centers in the game nowadays that can take over or at least are, that are looked to as leaders the way they are now.
Well, let me think about this direct comparison, right? Jokic, game 7 for the Nuggets. He got thrown out, right?
Yep.
His team is out because of that. Joel has a chance tomorrow.
It was a horrible call, by the way. Throwing him out for that was ridiculous. Was,
agree or disagree? He let his emotions get the better of him and
you're
put
right,
himself in
right.
that situation. Right. So to Dave's point, though, or David's point, like Joel has, he wanted to be the MVP over Jokic. He deserved it. Well, here's a very clear-cut case where you can go and show why you deserved it over and over.
That's exactly right, and he needs to do that because if he doesn't, that's just going to be a clip for everybody else. The Hawks are our team that love to shoot the three. You have to be physical with those guys. You got to slow them down, and you can't let them get off to a fast start. They've got all kinds of confidence now. They've already beaten Sixers in Philly. So it's not like they can't go in there and do that again. And they've got confidence to do that. They need to take that away from them and show them that, look, home court is exactly what it's supposed to be. As far as the Eagles go, I think the first four games of this season is going to tell a lot because, A, the league doesn't know what Sirianni is going to do.
Yep, you got the benefit of the doubt the first few.
And you got the benefit of the doubt because you're playing with house money. I will be in Dallas for that Monday night game.
Yeah, oh yes,
it's my birthday weekend.
Let us know. I'll be there as well.
Yes, I will be there from the with my Eagle gear from the tops of my caps to the shoelaces.
Love it.
And we will go in there and we will rip Dallas a new one.
Dallas sucks.
That defense is still horrible.
Dallas sucks.
That defense is still horrible. You guys be safe. Be big and God bless.
Pleasure.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon, David. Let's try and squeeze as many in as we can here. Let's go to Gary in Center City. Yo, Gary.
James, man. What's up, man? I know
you
have a show,
buddy?
Man.
Thanks, man. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Listen, I don't know what that dude was talking about. Maxie, he saved the game for us,
man. He was
man.
Not giving him enough credit, especially a kid
in that spot. What was that guy talking
spot.
About, man?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm with you,
you kidding me?
I'm with you, Gary. I'm with you.
James, how do we start a petition to everybody to sign for them to get rid of him? I'll tell you, it's excruciating to watch his face, that stupid beard on his face. We got to get him the hell out of here.
Yeah, Gary, I think that up until this series, you would have a large portion, a sizable portion of Sixers fandom defend him, fight people about it. It was a thing. We have gotten to this point. This series alone has pretty much gotten everyone on the same page.
And what's interesting is it's not reactionary. Ben has been this player.
If we play him, James, if we play him, we can't trade him. How do we Who's going to take him? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, Gary, great call. I don't know. I don't know, right? Like, I think he's still got value. I think we go a little far with it in this moment. Like, who's ever going to want him? Like, someone will want him. We just might not get back what we thought we could get back for him.
I think it's reached a point with Ben where when the whole Carson Wentz trade thing was going on and it was, are they going to get a first? Will they get a second? Blah, blah, blah. And me and you were both of the mindset of, look, just trade him for whatever you can get. You have got to move on from Carson. He didn't want to be here. He was not, in my opinion, a good enough quarterback to stay here. I think that it's the same thing with Ben. You might not get Lillard back from him for him. You probably definitely won't. But I think it's addition by subtraction. You have to trade Ben for whatever you can get.
So with you. Let's squeeze one more call in. My buddy Sean in Wilmington. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good, man.
I'm trying to get this out as quick as I can. For some reason, every time I call, you guys didn't do it. They keep hanging up on me. I guess I got to say something. If you hear me out, you'll understand. When they traded for George Hill, I said that was, oh, well, we needed a guard. We didn't need a center. Da, 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 da. And I said, we should have never gave up Tony Bradley. He was young. He was giving us quality minutes. He was giving us better minutes than Howard. He would have gave Embiid a lot more rest.
Look, Sean, it's hard to argue against that. George Hill has been bad, and Tony Bradley, if nothing else, like he was very good when he was here.
And he was scoring 11 points.
Well, and especially
we lost by 3-3. What the heck? We'd have been winning this series. We'd have won it.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the difference maker.
No,
but your point
still,
is fair.
It's a good point. It's a good point, Sean. I don't think a lot of people talked about it in that moment, but yes, that is a really fair point. Right
I
now.
Mean, George Hill has given us nothing.
Yeah, he's been bad, Sean. A pleasure, my friend. Yeah, George Hill has definitely been a disappointment.
Yeah.
This was fun, buddy.
I know.
Go Sixers. Well,
hopefully it's fun tomorrow night. Do we give our final predictions here?
Final predictions.
I think the Sixers win, and I think the game goes, they go up big early. I think the Hawks make a bit of a run, and then I think the Sixers tomorrow extend the lead this time. And I think they end up winning by 8+.
I think the Sixers win by 1 point on a missed Bogdanovich shot at the end of the game.
He might not play, but Vince Carter 2.0.
So Trey goes to the rack, doesn't take it. Joel gets in his way, dishes out. John Collins on the outside.
Okay.
Shot, clang. Sixers win it.
Vince Carter 2.0. Exactly.
There
it is.
There we go. All right. I love it. All right. Thank you to everyone called. Listen, we literally could not do the show without you. Thank you to Dan Wilson crushing it behind the glass. Check out our pods all week. We'll be there. And, of course, next week, 1-3 on WIP. Thanks for listening to another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on 94 WIP.